At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Network. You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people at Bustler, and everybody else in between throwing it down. The Monday Night Meltdown has begun. We've got a full house here this evening. Our boy Mo Khan will step up, and then we'll talk football with Mo. We'll talk football with Rick Saratella. We'll talk football with George Kurtz. Full house, triple threat tonight. A lot of football talk, a lot of NFL football talk. We'll talk Major League Baseball as well, as the Yankees have blown 3 leads tonight, and the total is 10 in this baseball game, and this game was obviously sailing under the number. Suddenly it's 5-3 for the Yankees. We've got 8 runs on the board. They're still batting right now, and the way things are going, I don't know, this game's going to end up like 15-14, and it'll never end, so we'll keep our eye on that. We cash a ticket with Joe Musgrove over strikeouts tonight. Man, I don't know how many he's got now. He was at 8. He was at 8 about 15 minutes ago. So Musgrove's killing it. San Diego is up 4-1. Cleveland wins tonight. The White Sox killed the Twins. And the Cubs and the Brewers were postponed due to rain / tornado warning or something like that in the area. I think there's tornadoes in Wisconsin. So it's a light night on the diamond tonight. Yeah, Musgrove's got 8 strikeouts. You know, I got in at 6.5 earlier in the day, and I saw it was 7.5. I couldn't recommend it at 7.5. But we cashed a ticket. It would have went over the number anyways. All right, so it would have went over anyway. Speaking of going over, Luka Doncic's bank account just went over the number, didn't it? Luka cashes in $207 million for Luka Doncic. He's the youngest player to ever get a $200 million contract. After becoming the youngest player in NBA history to average 35 points per game in a single postseason, Luka Doncic becomes the youngest player in NBA history to get a $200 million contract. He's still 22. He won't turn 23 until February. Well, whatever. Listen, I like Luka. I'm a big fan of Luka Doncic. I think he's amazing and stuff. But the Dallas Mavericks, this is like Mike Trout. Like, he really is. Like, he's being wasted in Dallas. It's pretty crazy that Mark Cuban somehow stumbled into this dude and is screwing it up. And he is screwing it up. I know he's only 23 right now, but, like, at what point, you know what I mean? Like we stated, like, you have, like, the greatest young player ever type of deal in the NBA, and the coach quits. Coach is like, yeah, you know what? I'm good. I'll go coach somewhere else. The general manager quits. You know, what are they doing? What do the Mavericks do in the offseason? What do they do to help Luka? How are the Dallas Mavericks better right now? If you want Goran Dragic, sorry ass, you can have him, right? You can have him, and that's eventually going to happen. Yeah, like Goran Dragic's going to put the Dallas Mavericks over the top. Like, yeah, you can have Luka Doncic, but you can't just win with one dude. But congratulations to Luka Doncic, youngest player ever to get 200 mil. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. And the countdown, well, I guess the countdown is done because football is here. But there's a new countdown now. There's a new countdown. The regular season countdown. The regular season is now just a month away. The season starts Thursday night, September the 9th. And technically, we are now August the 10th. So it's basically, it's a month away, the start of the regular season. The preseason resumes on Thursday. And we're fired up. We'll talk a lot of football. We've been talking a lot of baseball futures. And we'll take a look at the market again tonight because it's a very fluid market and it changes all the time. And we've already got a piece in the Philadelphia Phillies. We've got a piece in the Atlanta Braves at nice plus money. The question is, should we buy back with the New York Mets and just call it a day and then just keep on playing the market as it goes on? And I think that's the best strategy there, right? I think that's the best strategy. But there's another team that's got pretty good value on the board that we'll talk about that are only a couple of games back right now, and I think it's worth pulling the trigger on. All right, it's all about building a portfolio and trying to get as much value as possible with the future markets. We'll take a look at the NFL future markets as FanDuel's got a really, really cool prop up that, quite frankly, I've never seen before. It's basically exact wins. They have exact win totals for every team. So, like, basically, if you think, like, all right, you know, the Detroit Lions are going to win three games this year, well, there's odds for it. You know, the New York Jets going to win five games this year, there's odds for it. The Buffalo Bills win 11 or 12 games this year, there's odds for it. And we'll get into this. Mo Khan will step up and in. Mo is a good football player, wide receiver, Concordia University. Mo Khan, we'll talk football with Mo. A lot of stuff to get to with Mo. George Kurtz, we'll throw it down with Kurtz. Kurtz is a Yankee guy, so. Man, like this Yankee team, man, they're a frustrating bunch to watch. Nothing's easy with these guys, huh? Nothing's ever easy for the Yankees. So we'll talk Major League Baseball. And it was last week, guys. It was actually 7 nights ago that George Kurtz joined us on the program, and we discovered the Philadelphia Phillies were plus 390. We said, man, we got to get in on this at plus 390. And my new deal is, instead of talking about it, we click it. We just don't talk. We put the bet in. Because we know the odds are going to get all whacked out. Well, now the Philadelphia Phillies are favored to win the division. Bring it!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
All right, listen, I need some cash.
What for?
I just need it, that's all.
Oh, no. Don't tell me. You're gambling again, aren't you? Oh, you weak, weak man. What?
The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. We're throwing it down as the Monday night meltdown. Late night tonight on the diamond. The countdown to kickoff is on. The regular season now just 1 month away. Full slate of preseason football this week. It's time to start handicapping the divisions, win totals, and finalizing what our future picks will be. But you know, as long as we're talking baseball right now before we step onto the grid, you know, we've talked a lot about the National League East odds, and I'm not a hedger. We talk about it. I don't like hedging because if I bet something and I like it, you know what I mean? Like you know, good example is we had Japan to win a gold medal in the Olympics, and I had $500 on it at plus 160. So, and the United States were plus 166 in the gold medal game. I could have just taken the U.S. and called it a day, but it would bother me. Like, what, you know what I mean? It would bother me betting on a team that I don't think is going to win, right? So I'm not into hedging, but I do think it's a little bit different when you're talking about a future market just because there's a lot of racetrack left right now, right? There's a lot of racetrack left, and I'm not convinced the Philadelphia Phillies are going to win the division still. They might have peaked too early. Their schedule has been pretty soft. They might have peaked too early. The Atlanta Braves, I think, are a team to keep your eye on. I think the Braves are due for a little bit of a run right now. So, you know, we've got the Phillies at plus 390. We've got the Braves at plus 340. Now we can buy the Mets at plus 300. And I think I will. And I don't like it, but I think I will. Because then, basically, look, I have three teams in a three-team race, and I have them all at plus money. And the Phillies are up right now. They're like minus 140 suddenly. So you see how volatile the market can get. Let's say Philadelphia loses seven of their next 10 games, and then suddenly Atlanta's plus, you know, minus 180. You know what I'm saying? So I think we can pretty much get a bunch of numbers from here on out. Now, the other team that we were talking about, the value pick, would be the Oakland Athletics. All right, the Oakland Athletics, they're only two games back. Oakland are only two games back, and the number really doesn't add up to me. You know, like, look, this is why we liked the Philadelphia Phillies last week. They were only two games back, and they were plus 390. Well, now they're 2.5 up, just like that. And the Oakland Athletics are a rock-solid organization. They're a damn good team. And they're only two games back of the Houston Astros. They play each other six more times. All right, so you're two back. You play each other six more times. So, in other words, you control your own destiny. And if you look at the Oakland Athletics schedule over the last, like, 3 weeks of the season, it's very manageable. It's very manageable. And what I like about this bet, too, so you get Oakland at plus 460, is that Houston and Oakland play each other in the final weekend of the season. And I actually think it'll probably come down to the final weekend. Look, it's a two-game deficit now. I don't think Oakland are only going to get better. I know Laureano's out, but they got Marte. Oakland always play their best baseball in September. So, you know, I don't think Oakland are fading. And I don't think Houston are going to completely fall apart, but if they do, fine, we have Oakland. But if not, if we go into the final weekend and it's close and it's tied, then we have ourselves a nice little situation where we could bet on the Astros, right? Because, hey, we have Oakland at plus 460. So as far as the baseball portfolio goes, the new pick, the Oakland Athletics to win the American League West. Plus 460, and I'm telling you, this number will not be there long. All it'll take is a couple of more games, and then suddenly this plus 460 is plus 180. The only thing is, we're not really going to be able, I don't know if we'll be able to buy back Houston, because Houston are minus 700 right now. But like, if you're going to be minus 700, you should be like eight games in first place. You should be six games up or something, like not two games up. You don't have a comfortable lead enough like for me to be minus 700. And I like Houston. I think Houston are a good team. But this isn't so much, oh, the Houston Astros, like they're terrible and they're going to fall apart. It's that the Oakland Athletics are plus 460. That's the deal. I think Oakland is the play there. All right, we're waiting on Mo Khan, and when I just heard Matias step into my earpiece, I was like, all right, we must have Mo. We do not have Mo, but we do have Sooner Lisa in Oklahoma. Sooner Lisa steps up in it. What's going on, Lisa?
Hey, Gabe, how are you?
Hey, it's always a pleasure to hear your voice. Lisa, it's been too long. How you doing tonight?
Doing well, doing well. I know it's not quite midnight here in Oklahoma or where you are, but I did want to call and say happy birthday. I don't think there's been a year gone by for 15 years now that I haven't got to call and say happy birthday. So I'm not going to break tradition.
Well, that's very, very nice of you, Lisa. I cannot believe that a year has passed since last year, actually, already. It's crazy. It feels like yesterday that, like, wow. Time goes by fast as you get older, but we appreciate it, Lisa. We really do. I wish, you know, it's kind of awkward. I like when my birthday lands on a Friday or a Saturday.
It's nice when you have the whole Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. But it is what it is. And you know, when I heard you call it, I'm thinking, what's going on here? You're calling to say, you know what, for everyone hating on the Sooners for leaving the Big 12, suck it. I'm like, did something happen? Something happened with the Sooners that I just didn't, that I didn't see? But that's you're a class lady, classy girl, Lisa. We really appreciate the birthday wishes.
You're welcome. I hope it's a really good one.
Hey, you just called, so we're off to a good start, right? We're off to a good start. And football season.
Well, I'm not
here,
Mo Khan, but I'm sure he's on his way.
Yeah, I don't know where Mo is. That's a good. You know what? You have a nicer voice than Mo does. So you know what? You know what? We miss Mo. but we'll take Sooner Lisa over Mo any time. So you fired up for some college football? We're just a couple of weeks away, Lisa.
Oh, I'm more than fired up. I can't wait to get back to the stadium. As we all know, just my cutout was there last year. But I made the move to Norman, so I literally have to walk across the street to the stadium now. So
that's awesome. That's awesome.
Never, I've never been more ready.
Yeah, yeah. I know you've always wanted to be, you know, right there, right next to the stadium. So now you are. Who knows? Maybe I'll see you down there at some point this year. But I'm fired up. I know there's a lot of hype about Spencer Rattler being the number one overall pick in the draft. And now there's the big target on Oklahoma's back. They're the big villains along with Texas. And how does that make you feel, though? You and Texas are buddies now. You guys are buddies.
Oh, no,
now.
We're not.
Like,
oh, no,
yeah,
don't
because,
get it twisted.
Hey, you're both,
no,
you
no,
both
no, no,
put
no,
a
no,
knife
no.
in the
no,
back
no, no,
of
no.
everybody. Yeah.
No, don't get it twisted. We'll never be buddies.
But
never.
You're known as the package deal here, right? Everyone hates you equally now.
That, you know, I honestly think that most of the SEC teams, for some reason, hate Texas a little bit worse. We all know why A&M does, but everything that I've seen and read, for some reason, they have a lot more smack to talk about Texas, which is okay with us.
Sooner Lisa. Thanks, Sooner Lisa. Don't be a stranger. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And you know what? It'll be nice having a little extra cash to bet on college football.
Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Brent. It's the Monday Night Meltdown. Thanks to Sooner Lisa for the birthday wishes. Feels strange to turn 30. I'm getting old. We're getting up there right now. We've given up. I don't even know how old I am anymore. I don't, you know, it's just a cat, whatever. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. But we do appreciate it. Sooner Lisa, Oklahoma in the house. I tell you what, the New York Yankees aren't doing me any favors tonight. They really, how many times have they blown the lead tonight? Like literally, five times? Like literally, right? One, two, three, four, five times. I've never seen anything like that before. I've never seen anything like it. They're up 1-0, then it's 1-1. They're up 2-1, then it's 2-2. They're up 3-2, then it's 3-3. Then they're up 5-3, and then it's 5-5. Yeah, I got two words for you, New York. F off right now. Yeah, let's bring in Mo Khan from Montreal. Mo Khan steps up and in on this Monday Night Meltdown. How you doing, Mo?
It's hot and humid in Montreal, Gabe. I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah, it's all the weather in Montreal always sucks, bro. It's either hot and humid or cold.
You're right.
It is. You're the weather, man. There's your weather report. People, what's the weather like in Montreal? Well, in the summertime, it's like Mississippi. And in the wintertime, it's like Siberia. I know it's very baffling, Montreal weather. Like, I don't understand how a place that is so cold can be so hot at the same time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Montreal, it really is. Like, Montreal, for people who don't know, it's just that summer where it's like, it's sticky. It's humid. It's sticky. It's just sort of that thick sort of heat. It's like, I swear, I've been to Mississippi. It's like Mississippi. It's just like everything's just hot and heavy. You're like, oh, God. You get tired, like, just walking a few blocks. And then in the wintertime, whatever, it's like 10 feet of snow and it's cold as hell. Great. Other than that, it's a great city, Mo.
Yeah, always.
Hey, so listen, let's talk some football, Mo. And yeah. I you know, something that bothers me, it always bothers me every time this time of the year. And people do it. The mainstream media does this all the time. And it's so lazy. It's so stupid. Nobody ever wants to go out on a limb. So when people give, like, preseason predictions, okay? And I swear to God, like, the NFL is the worst for this. Every preseason predictions that you'll read, like at ESPN or, you know, CBS, et cetera, these websites, it's always, like, just what the standings were the year before. Like, you know what I mean? Nobody ever goes out on a limb and says, oh, this last-place team's going to be in first place. It's the same Super Bowl winner all the time. And so there's a story at ESPN, a feature at ESPN, NFL season projections, win-loss records, playoff and Super Bowl chances, football power index. And they're not the only ones, but basically every preview I read, everybody I hear, everybody talks about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, bro, like they're four-time defending champions and they can't be beat. And nobody ever repeats the Super Bowl champions in the Super Bowl. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, people are like, oh, they have all 22 players back. What, the same 22 players that were underdogs to the Chiefs a couple of months ago in the Super Bowl? Right? Like, like last year, people didn't even think Tampa were going to win the Super Bowl when Kansas City had, like, fifth-string offensive linemen in. And now it's like, oh, they can't be beat. They can't be beat. Tampa, you know, Tampa Bay's the team to beat. They can't be beat right now. It just bothers me, Mo, that, you know, people always just think that whatever happened last year is going to happen again. It's a lazy take, in my opinion.
Yeah, football is one of those sports games that you know very well that it is so hard to get back to that pinnacle of your career to play in a Super Bowl or even get back into the playoffs, right? Look at the losing teams of each Lombardi game and how far they go the following season. Not that great in terms of the win-loss record. And I think for Tampa, yes, you got back everyone in the starting rotation and you have the depth to work with, but it changes every year. The narrative changes every year. Tom Brady could go down week one like he did in 2008 when he got nailed by Bernard Pollard in the knee, right? They can lose a bunch of O-linemen along the way. They can lose their defense. Guys kind of get lazy and complacent. That they don't think they have to work hard enough to get back to the big game and go based off the skill set. So I think going into this season, yes, you open up against Dallas, which has a pretty potent offense if Dak is going to be healthy enough to play and that O-line's better. But I wouldn't underestimate the Cowboys going to week one if you're the Tampa Buccaneers in this opening matchup in a month's time from now.
Oh, they're getting 6.5 points. That's a good point. Everybody's going to take Tampa. I'll take the over. There should be points in that game. And we're now just like 30 days away from that contest. But, you know, and listen, I get it. Tom Brady's a different, you know, he's just a different animal, this guy. And the more he wins, the more he wants to win, right? So I get that. Right. And you know, before he was motivated by the fact he was bothered that Peyton Manning had won Super Bowls with two different teams. And he admitted it after. And I knew it bothered him, and he said it. He admitted it. He said, yes, it bothered me. And yes, it bothered me that he was the only one, and I wanted to do that. Now, we talk about repeating as Super Bowl champions. Nobody's repeated as Super Bowl champion since the Patriots did. And it was all the way back in 2004, the 2003 season, but 2004 Super Bowl, 2004 Super Bowl, 2005 Super Bowl. So, you know... So that's a span of what? So 15 years and 16 years, whatever, 15, 16 years now. And so that's a span that no one's accomplished it since Tom Brady. So you know that he's driven by that now, Mo, right? I've got to win back-to-back here to really cement this, to, like, really, really cement this right now. But I don't know. Like, so let's go team by team. So do I ask you right now, do you think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are repeating as Super Bowl champs?
No, I don't. I don't think. I think they win the division. I think they can win 12, maybe 13 games. But it, again, Gabe, we go back to that last year, right? Think about this, Gabe. I'll give you the stat line, okay? When they lost the Saints on that Sunday Night Football game in Tampa, when they got crushed and had their soul taken, okay? At that point, they hadn't given up more than 30 points in a game for like 8-9 weeks in a row going to the big one against Kansas City in the Super Bowl back in early February. So that defense played well. They clicked. They were able to get things back into harmony because, remember, they lost Vita Vea early in the year. When he came back from the playoff run, that just gave them more depth to work with. They got healthy, and that's been the key for them. If they're healthy, Gabe, yes, I think they can definitely win the division. But in terms of where they're going to be in January, it is so hard to project that because you need three things in your favor, right? Health, a run game, and defense. They had all three things working in their favor back in February when they won the big one over the Chiefs.
Mo Khan with us. It's a good point. And let's be real. You look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's unfortunate, but they really did have literally third-string offensive linemen playing. And some of these guys were playing out of position. And not to mention the tragic situation with Andy Reid's kid being an idiot and the accident a couple of days before the Super Bowl. Mahomes, his ankle was, you know what I mean? We can go down the list of things. Everything worked out for Tampa. It fell into place for them.
Right.
And as you stated, and let's be real, you need luck to win a championship. It just is. Like, you need everything. You need to be great, but you need things to fall into place for you. So ESPN's computer, you know, analysis, basically, their projections, they've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a 15% chance of winning the Super Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs have the number one percentage, the highest percentage, at 19%. Now, we talk about the offensive line, Mo, and the Kansas City Chiefs really, really, you know, invested, revamped, and stockpile talent on the offensive line. They don't want that ever to happen again, right? Where Mahomes is running for his life, and they know they can't win. As good as Mahomes is, he can't win if the line sucks. So they've invested in the line. They've got a chip on their shoulder, but it's real hard to get back to three Super Bowls in a row. What's your take on the Chiefs? Do you think they're going to make it to the Super Bowl this year?
Their window of opportunity is this year, Gabe, before Mahomes' contract kicks in, right? And that's when he'll take up more of the salary cap, given what we've seen with the flat line the last couple of years. And the thing is, right, Gabe, when you look at this AFC, it is not going to be an easy run because you have the Chargers who are improving game by game. And I think under Coach Staley, there'll be a much better defense. And look, under Anthony Lynn, during his time as a Charger coach, they were, I believe, they had an absurdly crazy losing record with games decided by 7 points or less. If they remain healthy, I think they can definitely give a puncher's chance towards the Chiefs. But I think for the Chiefs overall and how they've been built, yes, their O-line has been invested and they got better with what they've acquired through free agency and guys who came back from the COVID-19 list from last year. But my concern for this team is their defense because, again, they lacked the pass rush when required last year to win football games at the critical juncture. And you go back to that Cleveland Brown game in which they won the playoff, right? That pass rush was not existent until the fourth quarter. And I'm just curious to see, with Chris Jones losing some weight, how effective will he be playing as an inside guy and now as an outside guy, the defensive end in that formation? So I'm quite fascinated by their defense and how they'll react. But that offense should put up points, though. But again, Gabe, until that Mahomes deal kicks in next year, this is probably the last real chance for this team to make a deep run again and perhaps come away with the second ring in 3 years.
Excellent point by Mo Khan. And Mo, as a gambling man, this is something that I do know as well. The Kansas City Chiefs, bro, wasn't like they were smoking teams last year either. They didn't win by more than like 6 points like all year type of thing, or like once against the Jets or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I remember it was like, wow, every Chief game is close. Every Chief game is close. You know, teams start to figure your offense out a bit, right? Yeah, they do. You know, the more tape, the longer the Mahomes is in the league. And it's like, all right, Reed and Bieniemy, how many new plays can you guys come up with? Right? That's sort of what the deal is. All right, Mola Mo Khan on the other side. Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morency on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Hey, Mo, want to come with me and Wally to the Super Bowl?
Oh, absolutely. My favorite team's in it. The Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, ever since I was a boy, I've always loved the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, they're good, but I wouldn't count out the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I hear that President Clinton is going to be watching with his wife, Hillary.
The late night anger management class. How good is that? We're talking Super Bowl, and we're talking to Mo. Mo Khan, kicking with us on the late night anger management class. I am Morency, SiriusXM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Networks, Sports Rage Late Night. So we're talking NFL futures right now. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, I get frustrated by the mainstream media predictions in which it's always just the teams that won last year. It's like, oh, yeah, I know. It's right. Going to be the same thing again, right? It's going to be the same thing again. So I got to, what, the Phoenix Suns are going to be playing the Milwaukee Bucks in the NBA Finals, too? So ESPN has odds most likely to win the Super Bowl percentage chance. Kansas City Chiefs, 19%. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 15%. The third team with the highest percentage, my Buffalo Bills, 9%. Bills were 13-3 last year. Josh Allen just got paid. They bring in Emmanuel Sanders. John Brown's out. Sanders is in. We know that the Bills' offense is pretty lethal, like 30 points a game type of lethal. And they have a very good defense as well. So, you know, the Bills are the complete package. They lost to the Chiefs in the AFC Conference Championship game last year. To me, Mo, I look at the Bills, and they're right there. But there's some other good teams in the AFC as well. But for me, the Buffalo Bills, they need to get home field advantage, Mo. Right? They lost at Kansas City. The moment was a little bit too big for them. And it didn't surprise me, actually, as far as the Bills' progression is concerned. Right? I mean, don't forget, it was just 2 years ago. These guys were blowing leads to the Houston Texans in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
You know, it's yeah, it's true. It's part of the process. I'm a Bills fan, but it's true. It's part of the process. Don't make the playoffs. Make the playoffs and lose. Make the playoffs and win a couple of games. And now the Bills have done all that. So the next step is make it to the Super Bowl. And to me, the Bills' lives will be easier to make it to the damn Super Bowl if they're playing in Orchard Park in the wintertime in Buffalo in the AFC Conference Championship game. Well, if the Bills can get home field advantage and go like 15-2 type thing, whatever it takes, 14-3, 15-2 this year, then I think the Bills can go to the Super Bowl.
They have a good chance, Gabe. My only concern is their pass rush, the lack of, right? Remember last year, they didn't really have much of a pass rush when it mattered most. They always came up with timely plays from their secondary, from the linebackers. And I think right now, when you look at this team right now, they drafted Greg Rousseau from Miami, who, again, he's not played football in over 2 years and hasn't played a defensive end position for quite a long time, being a former receiver, safety, now defensive end. So they've invested in that front line and becoming much more ferocious. Now, the question for this Buffalo Bills team, you're right, though. Can they get themselves a signature win during the regular season that tips the scale in their advantage to get home field advantage? Now, the thing is, they'll play the Chiefs again for the third time in less than 12 months. That's a big test for them. But I think in that AFC East, look, I don't think the Patriots are going to be the team to beat, but I think they'll be much more competitive. And I think what it'll come down to is that defense being much, much of a bigger factor than what they were when it mattered most for them. And it'll come down to that pass rush. And if they don't have that pass rush against Mahomes or Herbert or any of the top-tier quarterbacks, it could be a much difficult road for them to get to 14 wins or 15 wins and get the top seed in the AFC playoffs.
I think the pass rush will be better this year. As you mentioned, you have Rousseau, the kid out of Miami. And don't forget about out of Wake Forest, too, Basham, who some people think is actually better. he's not as high profile, but some people actually think this kid is better, just a little stronger. They're both pretty good, though. I have high hopes for both of them, actually. But I can't disagree. Listen, the Bills were middle of the road, Mo. Off top of my head, I think they were like 16th in the league, 15th in the league with sacks, which for an elite defense, not good enough. I totally get that. And they didn't get enough pressure. It was a problem, right? They couldn't get pressure on Mahomes, and he picked them apart, and Mahomes is on one foot. And that was a problem there. Because the Bills' secondary is good, but if they're playing, you know, they can only cover guys for so long. But I expect the Bills' pass rush to be better. All right, so the Bills are at 9%. And if not the Chiefs, like, let's go through other teams here. Listen, they've got the Bills at 9%. They've got the Green Bay Packers at 6%, Mo. And throw out all the stuff with Aaron Rodgers. I think it doesn't mean a damn thing when it comes to playing football right now. Right? I think it's whatever. Aaron Rodgers doesn't like the GM, so what? And when it was all said and done, he didn't even miss a damn practice, Mo. Right? So I think it was all a lot about much to do about nothing. Like, he didn't miss one day. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, whatever. He went to Hawaii. And, you know, Rodgers sort of spun it like, hey, it was all you guys in the media. It wasn't me. Right? When he said, you guys in the media have stories. Like, no, Aaron. Like, you know, you played games for the last couple of months. You weren't happy. It is what it is. You don't like the GM. You made your point. But I see video of the Packers camp, and Rodgers is throwing dimes. I saw him hit a target, bro, from like 60 yards the other day. So it's not like Rodgers is going to tank that he's there. He's going to play good football. And we are talking about a team, Mo, that's been to the NFC Conference Championship game 2 years in a row. Can they get over the top and get back to the Super Bowl?
No, I don't think so, Gabe. Again, we go back to this, right? They well, I'll say this, because they lost their key O-lineman Lindsley, right, to the Chargers. I think their receiving corps are going to be solid, but what it comes down to, again, is their defense. And let's not forget, Gabe, this defense, their secondary is pretty good. Jair Alexander could be the next great cornerback in the NFL for what he's done so far with his time in Green Bay. But again, I just fret about their pass rush. And not to become common with the term pass rush, but you look at what they did against this Tampa O-line back in late January in the NFC title game. It wasn't much of a pass rush. And that's why when you look at how they cleaned house with their defensive side of the football here, I'm just curious to see how well they can gel on defense, their front seven, that is, and be much more tougher in those nitty-gritty games here. And that's why I think their offense can drop points and score 30, 40 points whenever they desire. But I think what it'll come down to, Gabe, is that front seven. Are they going to be much more of an X factor than what they were last year, even 2 years ago, when they couldn't close out the games in the NFC title game? So I think for them, if they can't get a pass rush, if they can't get the key play from their front seven, this could be a lot difficult test for them going into a very unique season with this Packer organization.
Mo Khan with us. I am Morency, SiriusXM Channel 204. So the next choice is the Baltimore. And listen, I'm a little higher on the Packers. I got the Packers on the list here. I think the Packers are capable of getting to the Super Bowl. So that's what I sort of look at. I think the Chiefs are capable. Obviously, the Bucs are. There's no value with the Bucs, but I think the Bucs are overrated. I think the Bills and Packers, and in fact, if I had to say who's going to play in the Super Bowl right now, I would say the Bills versus the Packers. All right, now we get to the Baltimore Ravens. They got a 6% chance as well. I don't know. Listen, Lamar Jackson's an idiot. He's gotten COVID twice, and he's still, I'm not sure if I'm going to get the vaccine. And over 90% of the Ravens team is. So, like, he's basically, like, one of the only guys on the team that is not vaccinated. He's the quarterback. He's already missed 8 practices. He's back now. He's kind of an idiot. And I like Lamar coming into the league more than other people did, right? Like I said, oh, this guy's better than Darnold, and he's better than this guy. He's better than him. But with that being stated, I think he might have already peaked, bro. I think he might be a Mike Vick 2.0. It might, you know what I mean? Did Vic go to the Super Bowl? No. He's not getting better, Mo. Is Lamar Jackson getting better? No, he's not. And I'm not him. So what? You brought Sammy Watkins in. That's not sending you to the Super Bowl. Rashad Bateman's a nice draft pick, but that's not sending you to, like, I'm not buying in. I don't have Baltimore as a Super Bowl team. I think Cleveland are better.
I don't either. I agree. And I'll tell you what, you look at this passing offense for Baltimore. They were 32nd in the NFL last year, right? Greg Roman's under immense pressure to revolutionize this offense and become more pass happy. The thing is, Gabe, you look at the history of the Baltimore Ravens. They've never been an offensive threat airing out the football. They've always been run, play strong defense, and that's how they win football games. And I think for Lamar Jackson, you look at his numbers from 2019 to 2020, it's a 180 because he took more hits. He took more sacks. His passing completion was decent, but at times was not dominant. I believe he had, I think, 6 or 7 games where he passed for less than 200 yards. And the thing is, Gabe, when you look at him, you stack him up with Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. We can go through Derek Carr included because of how well Carr played with a crappy Raider team. He is not a good passing quarterback in that sense, but he's a really great football player. But I just don't know if he can keep healthy, because you're right. He could end up being like Michael Vick, where he gets hurt at some point and doesn't retain his success that he once had. He could end up like Robert Griffin III with his style of play. So that's why I'm just fascinated by what Greg Roman will do this year with his offense. Will they get more pass protection because he lost Orlando Brown Jr. to the Chiefs? So how do you fortify that front five right now for them moving forward? And I think for Baltimore, they're under immense pressure because they are all in now before, again, those salary caps will kick in, because Lamar Jackson, Gabe, has yet to sign his new second contract in the NFL, and you know that's going to be a lot of money going towards Lamar Jackson, and you wonder how long Baltimore and Jackson will wait before they put their they cross the T's and dot the I's in terms of the contract that should be signed, whether it's now or later.
And listen, I totally get it that they're going to have to pay Lamar, but it's one of those deals. So what, you're going to pay him like Josh Allen? That's it, and he's your quarterback forever. All right. And you live or die with Lamar Jackson. We'll see if he gets better this year. All right, so San Francisco. There's a bunch of teams with a 6% chance. You don't like Green Bay. You don't think Tampa's going to get back to the bowl. So what about San Francisco? The next two teams coming out of the NFC, the San Francisco 49ers, according to ESPN's computer model, have a 6% chance of winning the Super Bowl, and the LA Rams have a 5% chance. Do you like the Niners or do you like the Rams this year?
I like the Niners over the Rams right now because, like, Cam Akers was going to be a huge maestro for that Rams offense, and he's not going to be there this season. That's going to hurt the ground game for the Rams. The reason why I like the Niners is that they're set for now and for the future because they bought themselves, Gabe, another 5 more years off the Trey Lance rookie deal. So Jimmy G will play however long he does this year. Lance takes over, and guess what? They can lock in Nick Bosa. They've already locked in Fred Warner on defense, and they can lock in some future key pieces that will be up for a second contract. The reason why I do like the Niners is this. Yes, they went through their myriad of injuries, but that O-line's much better now with McGlinchey and Trent Williams as the left and right tackles of that offense. You look at this running game. Yes, they went through a boatload of running backs, but now they have everyone healthy. I'm curious to see with Bennett Ayuk. If you look at his numbers last year compared to the rookie class of what they did, he had the most receptions for 10 yards per catch over here, and I think that's why he'll be a very targeted player out there, and for fantasy football geeks, he's got to watch out for in a PPR level. So I think they have the pieces in place on the offense. And it's just, I'm questioning not the defense, but I'm questioning how quickly can Nick Bosa get back to what he was 2 years ago, where he was a dominant force and a destructor of offensive lines out there. So I think the Niners are built to win. And I think, look, there's no question. There's pressure on John Lynch and for Kyle Shanahan to be much better now and be mortgage their future for what should be a present a dominance for them. So I think for this Niners team, pressure's there, but I think they have the pieces in place if they're healthy to make a deep run in the playoffs this year.
Man, yeah, they've really improved. Now that they're healthy, too, they're skill position players. Mostert's a solid back. I like the draft pick, Trey Sermon, speaking of Oklahoma. So Trey Sermon, Oklahoma, Ohio State, comes in here. That's a solid backfield right there. You got Deebo Samuel, Ayuk, more with Mo on the other side. Mohamed Sanu, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
3-minute warning. Quickest 180 minutes of sports talk radio. I am Renzi, level one, nearly done. Mo Khan with us. So, Mo, before we get you out of here, and we only got a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
I was impressed with the quality of play of the CFL when you consider they didn't play any preseason games and they didn't play in 2 years. I got to be honest. Well, the games were better than they usually are in week one. Usually the CFL, let's just call it, that's true. I remember in the old days, like Anthony Calvillo and Tracy Hamm and Danny Mack and stuff, the openers would be good. But over the last few years, it would take like 4 or 5 weeks to get sort of going in the CFL. I thought the quality of play was good. The Montreal Alouettes were the one team that didn't play. Listen, I'm a big fan of Kahari Jones, the coach, and I like Vernon Adams Jr. a lot. Of course, former Eastern Washington and Oregon Duck quarterback. So how has camp gone for them, and what are you expecting in their first game? I want to ask you for, like, the Edmonton have already played, so it's kind of a weird spot that they're in, but how's camp gone for the Alouettes?
Camp's gone very well for them. Offense is clicking, Gabe. They are looking like how they were in 2019 under Vernon Adams Jr. They might have the most depth to work with at the receiver position. B.J. Cunningham back in the fold. Jake Wenneke to look at. Geno Lewis, who might be the most explosive receiver in the air, is a guy that I think could have a big year for the Alouettes. I'm just more concerned about the defense, Gabe, because remember last time when this team played, they were sliced and diced by Trevor Harris, who went, I think, 23 or 24 for like 350 yards and beat them in the playoff game, right? Yes, you fire Bob Slowick and you bring in Baron Miles. But again, Gabe, we're talking about this team that has not played football in almost 2 years. So how quickly will this defense assimilate to Baron Miles' style of play? Will he be aggressive with the blitzes? Will he be exotic with his looks on defense? Because quite frankly, under Slowick, they played a very passive vanilla defense at times where they got beaten underneath quite often for 4 or 5 yards per reception. So this game in Edmonton will be a true test of their value and how they are as a defense compared to where they were 2 years ago.
Montreal and Edmonton on Saturday night. We look forward to this football game and getting some point spreads up for week two of the CFL. It was a profitable week one. Mo Khan, great stuff as always, Mo. Thanks for the time, buddy.
Always a man. Have a good week, pal.
A late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.